Today's daf is Psachim Daf Lamed Aleph, and we have 25 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Amid Beis, Bo Mine Mimereimar. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Rufua Shalema. For Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Manuela Baschana, and David Ben Chava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos for Yecheskel Shraga Ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram, Ben Yibadol L'chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So yesterday's daf discuss the halachos of chametz that's nesarev in a taruvos. You have a little bit of chametz that got mixed with something that you're allowed to eat on Pesach. And the question is, how do we view the status of this taruvos? Machloik is Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. L'maskana, the Gemara said, top line on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Omar Rava, Hilchasa, the halacha is chametz bizmanoi, bein beminoi, bein shaloi beminoi, aser b'mashu. If chametz on Pesach is nisarev with a dover mutter, the halacha is, it doesn't matter if that dover mutter is of the same min as the chametz, it doesn't matter if it's a different min as the chametz, either way, the halacha is, it's going to be aser b'mashu, meaning it doesn't matter how much ether there is relative to the iser. It doesn't matter if it's shishim, if it's 100, if it's 200, if it's 1,000. As long as there's a mashu of chametz, the halacha is that the chametz is going to be aser. This is, of course, a tremendous chiddush. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Pesach, in Aruch Chaim, Simen, Tof, Mem, Zayin, and it's what's known as chametz b'mashu, that if you have chametz, even a mashu of it in a taruvos, the halacha is, on Pesach, it's always going to be also. The Gemara discussed that halacha, and then it went me'inyin le'inyin ba'isa inyin, and talked a little bit about the halachas of hagolas kelim, specifically as it relates to Pesach. So if somebody has kelim that he uses the whole year, naturally those kelim are going to be chametz dig. If you want to use it for Pesach, you have to do hagolah, you have to kasher it, and the kitzer shulchan aruch of dinei hagolah are mentioned on daf lamed amid beis and psachim, and we're in the middle of going through those gemaras. It says the gemara, bo minei mea meimar, or the bach skirsa is mi mireimar, hani mani de kunyo, kalim that were made of earthenware, that were coated in metal. Mau l'ishtamushe behu bepischa. The question is, are you allowed to use those kalim on Pesach? Now, naturally, you're going to have to kasher these kalim, being that it's coated in metal, so the metal itself is boileya, the chametz that you use it for the whole year. So naturally, if you want to use it, you would have to kasher it. The question is, can you kasher it? Because this keli was only coated in metal, but the underlying keli was made of earthenware. And this is Dinei Hagolah 101, and that is earthenware kelim have no ability to be kasher. So if you have an earthenware keli that has in it blius of macholos asuris, it's a pasuk in the Torah, you have to destroy it. So the question was, these kelim were at their core made of earthenware, however they were coated in metal. Mitzad the metal you could do hagolah, mitzad the earthenware you can't. So they, meaning the Talmidim, asked Mereimar, these mani de kunya, these were kelim that were used by people, it was a very practical question. What's the halacha as it relates to using it on Pesach? So this is what Mereimar said. Yeruka loyti boilach. As it relates to the ones that were green, that variety of this keli, that's not a shaila. The vadi asiri. There's no question it's going to be asar. Meaning those kelim, just based on the physical nature of them, certainly were boileya. Meaning through the metal, the earthenware part of the keli had in a blias of iser. If it has blias of iser, there's no way for you to be able to use it. Kiti bayalach. So Mereimar said, you want to know what the shaila would be? Uchmi v'chivri, the black ones and the white ones. My v'heichel de'isbi kartufni, in the event that there were cracks inside the metal coating, loyti bayalach. That's also not a shaila. Dvadi asiri, of course it's going to be iser. If there are cracks in the coating, then naturally the blias would go through the cracks and they'd be able to penetrate the keli. Kiti bayalach. De'shi, in the event that it was smooth, there were no cracks. My Omalesi told him, Chazin Elohu, this is what I think. If you take a look at these kelim, you'll see mid de midaisi. You'll see that they schwitz a little bit. That's what the word de midaisi means. Meaning, it would seem that there's definitely something coming out of the underlying keli that's going onto its surface. Almavali. And if that's the case, it means it's Baileya. And if it's Baileya, Asiri, it's going to be Aser. Why is it going to be Aser? My timer. Because HaTorah HaIdah, the Torah said, Eidos, Al Kli Cheres, She'ena Yoitze Midei Dafyoi, or some have the Girsa Midei Dafnoi La'olam. Meaning, And Mereimar said that if you look at those black and white kalim very, very closely, you're going to see they're definitely Baileia. So if they're Baileia, that means you're out of business. Why? Because if they're Baileia, we know that there's no way for you to be able to completely get Blias out of a Klicheris. That's why it says in the Torah that if a Klicheris becomes Tomei, or if it has Blias of anything that you're not allowed to eat, you have to get rid of it. There's no way to get around it. Also, if that's the case, then if I know it's Baileia, the halach is it's going to be a problem. Zok the Gemara, Maishol in Yayin Nesach. Why is it different than Yayin Nesach? The Darish Mereima, the same Mereima said, Mani de Kunyo, as it relates to these Kalim. Again, these were earthenware Kalim that were coated in metal. Bein Uchma, doesn't matter if it's the black one, Bein Chivri, if it's the white one, Bein Yeroiki, it doesn't matter if it's the green one, Shari, they're all going to be Mutter, meaning Mereima just said that the green, the black, and the white, as it relates to Chametz, if you use them the whole year, we assume that this is Klicheris and has an Oblius of Chametz, there's no way for you to be able to use it on Pesach. The same Mereimar said, as it relates to Yayin Nesach, that it's going to be Mutter. So, you'll tell me Yayin Nesach the Rabbanon. Maybe Yayin Nesach is the Rabbanon. Chametz is the Iraisa, whereas Chametz is the Iraisa. The problem is, Kol the Tikkun Rabbanon came the Iraisa Tikkun. We know whenever the Rabbanon made a Takano, they always made it Kein the Iraisa. So the question is that we have a stira in Mereimar. As it relates to Yayin Nesach, Mereimar said these Kalim are fine. As it relates to Chametz, Mereimar said they're not okay. And even though it's true, Yayin Nesach, although it has in it the chumra of Avodah Zarah, but it's only a din derabanan, whereas chametz is a din deraisa, so you can easily say that one is a derabanan, the other one's a deraisa, will be more makeable by the derabanan. But usually the rule is called a tikkun rabanan, kein deraisa tikkun. So if the rabanan were worried about blios of this Kaili, as it relates to chametz, that's the Raisa, they should have been equally as concerned as relates to Yayin Nesach, which is only a derabanan. Amalei, Samareimar told him the difference between using these kalim in the context of Yayin Nesach versus using these kalim in the context of chametz is not one is the Raisa, one is the derabanan. That in and of itself wouldn't be a satisfactory chiluk. Rather, the difference is zet hashmishay al yedei chamin, v'zet hashmishay al yedei tzoyne. Yayin Nesach is wine. You drink wine when it's cold and room temperature, but being that you don't drink it when it's hot, certainly not boiling hot, certainly not Yatzai led this boy. So as a result, from a Blia perspective, it's going to be more kuladik because the kalim that we use for wine were never really Baileia. The reason they were never really Baileia is because it was never used when they were very hot. As opposed to chametz, the chametz could be very hot. This can be a dish that you're eating. It could be something that's very hot, being that it's hot, so there's more of a concern of blios, and that's why the same kalim, Mereimar said, the ones that we use for chametz, that he was very worried about. He was worried that through the metal coating, the underlying klicheris maybe would be baileia, as relates to Yayin Nesach, being that it was only a davar tzaynin, even though Yayin Nesach is very chomer in the world of taruvas, but it's only used for tzaynin. If it's only used for tzaynin, he wasn't concerned. Amar Rav Barabba, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Shmuel Kolak Kalim, shenishtamshu behem chametz b'tzoyin. Any keli that's used for chametz, but it's used when the chametz is tzoyne, when it's cold, mishtamish behem matzah. You're allowed to use it for matzah, meaning you don't have any major kashering problems. All your kashering issues are kalim that are used for chametz, but they're used for the chametz when they're hot. So hot that they have the ability to be baileia, to be maflit, yatziledisboy, yadnichvisboy. That's when you run into all the taruvas problems. But if you have a keli that's used for chametz, but it's used for the chametz when it's cold, no worries. Chutz, there's one exception. Min beis sa'ar, with the exception of the trough that was used to store the sourdough. Sa'ar is sourdough. And the trough that was used for that, that's a problem. Hoyol shechim mutzoy kasha. Being that it has the ability to be machmitz, and that's very intense. So it's for that reason, the halacha is that it's going to be an issue. Rashi adds, upa'amim shehu shoya sham balayla, that this sourdough used to remain in this trough overnight. I mean that it remained there overnight, so it's for that reason Chazal were worried that even though it's tzoynin, still it could be it's going to be balayla. Amar Rav Ashi said, ubeis charoises. This is the first time we had charoises in the Sechtes Pesachim, but this is not charoises of the Seder fame. But rather, beis charoises, a trough, or a keli that's used to store spices, kebesa, or it's like a besa, or shechimutzai kashadami, it's going to have the same halacha, that even if it's soinin, even if it's not hot, it's balei. Amar Rava, Rava said, hani agni de mechuza, these troughs that we use the mechuza, hayo batadu lemelash behu chamira, umashi behu chamira, kebesa, or shechimutzai kashadami, meaning that they were used to knead dough, and they would leave sourdough inside this trough, so it's like the besa, or that Chazal would referred to when they said, being that it's chimutzei kosher, even though it's used for tzoynein, still there's blias in it, and you can't use it for matzah, you can't use it on Pesach, unless you're going to do a hagolah. Feit gemar pshita. It's obvious. This is the besar. Meaning the halach is not necessarily pashit, but once we know that the halach is that the besar, hoyol shech chimutzei kosher, whatever exactly that svar is, the halach is that even though you're using it when it's tzoynein, still we assume that it's baleya, so why would these agni de mechuzah be any different? Meaning, what was Rava's chiddush? Rava seemed to know the previous halacha. Who said the previous halacha? Shmuel. Right? Shmuel lived a lot before Rava. So Shmuel already said this halacha, that a beis sa'ar, hayo shechi mutzai kasha, the halacha is, even though you use it tzaynein, it's a problem. You have to do agola if you want to use it for something that's going to be not chametz steak on Pesach. So why would you think the agni de mechuz is different? Zach de gemara svarim, out of the time, I would have thought, kivan de revicha, being that these kelim were very wide, so shalit bu'avira, so it's very easy for ear to penetrate them, v'loy bali, and as a result, maybe it's not b'leya, kamash b'lon, that's why Rava had to be mechadish, and Rava said that the same halacha that you have there, you're going to have here as well, meaning it's treated like a beis sa'ar, and if it's treated like a beis sa'ar, a beis sa'ar, even though it's used tzoynein, there's a svar of chimutzei kosher, you have to kashrut if you want to use it on Pesach. So these agni de mechuza are going to have the same halacha. Just one ha'ara before we start the next sugya and completely shift gears. And that is, so we just concluded the sugya of chametz b'mashehu. And really, as far as chidushim in Masechtas Pesachim and in Hilchas Pesach goes, this is in the conversation as being the biggest. Ordinarily, if you have a taruvis of Issa v'Heter, at some point, the assumption is, if there's so much Heter connected to Isser, Malach is that the Heter is going to be Mevatel the Isser. Yet, when it comes to Chametz, we have the law of Chametz B'mashu, the Makar, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rav's Psak, in the Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. But the question is why? Right, the question is, why is chametz so chamer that you have the halach of chametz b'mashu? So the truth is, Rashi addressed it in the sugya on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, and Rashi said it's because chametz has two things working against it. Number one, if somebody eats chametz on Pesach, he's chayv karis, which means that from an oynish perspective, it's very chamer. Number two, people eat chametz the whole year. You're not used to not eating chametz. And as a result, we're always a little more concerned that someone's going to come to eat chametz on Pesach than we are that he's going to eat nevela, basav v'cholav, or something else that he's not allowed to eat. So these are two reasons that Chazal felt that we need to be machmer, and a manifestation of the chumrah of chametz is that if chametz is in the taruvos, it doesn't matter if it's b'mino, b'she'ena mino, either way the halach is going to be that chametz is going to be b'mash. We spoke out the chiddush of the Chacham Tzvi in Simen Pei Vav, where the Chacham Tzvi says that being that the whole reason chametz is b'mashu is based on the fact that number one, it's karis, and number two, like b'dili mine, so it makes sense that it would only be a problem as it relates to the Isra Achila. But as it relates to Bayura, Bayumatze, being that all it is two lavin and an essay, even though it's a big deal, but it's not karis, so being that it's not karis, it could be you don't have the loch of chametz b'mashu as it relates to Bayura, Bayumatze, and as promised, we'll get back to this Be'ezus Hashem in a couple of weeks. But the point is this. The point is that the Poshib Shat, the Pashim Shan and why Chametz is so Chamer and you find the Halach of Chametz B'mashu is because Chametz is number one, Chayiv Karis, and number two, another thing that you find as it relates to Chametz is that it's Loi Bedili in Shemineh. But the truth is, from going through the first month of Masechtas Pesachim, learning Daf Lamed Aleph today. So just going through the first month of Masechtas Pesachim, we've already encountered many, many Chumras that Chametz has over ordinary Macholi Sasuris. Number one, chametz b'mashu. In a taruvus, there's never a din bittel when it comes to chametz. We spoke a lot about the Rambam last week. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah. With the Rambam says that if somebody eats a chatzi shir of chametz, he violates a pasuk in the Torah, the pasuk that says lo yeyachol chametz. Meaning, even though Rabbi Yochanan holds chatzi shir asim in Torah, that's only because it's chazi litz tarufe. When it comes to a chatzi shir of chametz, that's a pasuk lo yeyachol chametz. The question is, what you need the pasuk for? The Kesef Mishnah's Kasha, the Noi de Biyuda, the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Kiveger, some of the raid that we spoke about. But the point is that you find a tremendous chumrah when it comes to chametz, and that is a chatzi shir of chametz is not only aser because of chatzi shir asim in Torah. The Torah, when it said lo yeyachol chametz, said that a chatzi shir of chametz is going to be aser. We mentioned the chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says a mitzvah yotes that if somebody eats chametz shaloi kederech ha'na'asan, you would get malchus. Ordinarily, Rabbi Yochanan's memra, Chavdal Ramad Bezim, Mesachtes Psachim, anytime a person eats something that he's not allowed to eat, Shaloika Derech Achilasan or Shaloika Derech Hanaasan, he's always going to be Potter. So, for example, if you eat it Achilagasa, whatever an example is of Shaloika Derech Hanaasan, when it comes to Chametz Mechas Chinuch, was Mechadish based on a Marshal, Lamdis, that if you eat it Shaloika Derech Hanaasan, you're going to be Chayef. You have the idea that the Torah said, Pashin on the Torah level, Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh. Torah was very, very machmer. There's an idea, Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh. You don't have such a halacha by any macholas asuras. It doesn't say you're not allowed to have bas of a chalv in your house. It doesn't say you're not allowed to have nevelas and treifas and shkatzim for a masim in your house. But when it comes to chametz on Pesach, the Torah said, Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh. The Rabbanu went, and the Rabbanu went further. And they said that even if you're Mekayim the Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, even if you're Mevatel the Chametz, you get rid of the Chametz, still you have to do a mitzvah's bedikah, the first sugya, the Mesechta. Aril Arbaasa, Boit Kenasa Chametz, Lo Ayur Aner. Why? These are all Gzeres, Ben Benoy Shal Gzeres. These were all Harchakos and special protections that Chazal made for the Halachas of Chametz. So you find it again and again and again. It's an overwhelming theme in the Halachas of chametz, and that is that chametz, as far as machalei sasuris goes, is treated very, very stringently. So, what's the pashim shat? Why? Why all these different halachas? Why chatzis shir and shleika derech hanasan and bayirah and bayimatzeh, and then you have to do bittel and then you have to do bedika and chametz b'mashu? It's like Rashi said on daf chav tes on the base. It's because chametz number one is a chayvi krisus, and number two loy bedi lemine. Right? That's certainly the pashim shat. But the Radvaz, and we mentioned this Radvaz once, and the Radvaz says in chela gimel. And it's in Tshuva, tough, kuf, ayin, zayin. He says, noch ala maises, after all the svaras, Rashi and the sugya and everything else, I think, adayins, anisoy mecha, masha amru razal b'medroshos. I think at the end of the day, you have to come on to Pnimiya Satayra. And that is, ki chometz bepesach, remez li yetzahara. This is the Radvaz talking. V'usar shebe isa. The yetzahara is the sar shebe isa. V'lachen kalei goresh yigoresh oisei ha'odam e'olav. V'yichap eisav v'b'chol machbu eis machshuv eisav. V'afilu kol shuloi batal. V'areze emes v'nochoin v'anirulani es daitin kosafs. This is a rishon kemat. The Radvaz talking and the Radvaz says, noch alam maises. The only thing that really, really makes me comfortable, the lumdis, chorus, like bedili mine, ayin shom, he asks kashas on all of this. I think at the end of the day, he says, you have to come on to the fact that there's a pnimiyas atayr over here, that when we get rid of our chametz on Pesach, what we're doing is a symbolic act of trying to remove any trace of chametz that we have inside our souls, any little bit of yetzahara that we have. Right? He's referring to the Gemara Masechtas Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Alexandri Basa de Matzli Omer Hachi, after he used to finish davening, he would say, Ribay no ilam im goli v'yadula fanecha, shiritzaynenu lasis ritzaynecha, evish that you know we want to do your ratzayn, umi ma'akev, so ar shebi isa, v'shibud ma'alchiyas, yihi ratzayn ulfanecha, shetatzilenu miyadam, v'noshuv lasis chuki ritzaynecha b'leiv of sholim. But either way, there's the sar shebi isa. And what is the sar shebi isa? It's the Yetzahara. So you see, the Yetzahara is referred to as the sar shebi isa, and being that on Pesach, a yid's avoida is to physically remove the chametz from his house. But that's supposed to be a microcosm of what he's doing to his neshama, to his Belvavi Mishkan Efna, to that house that he has inside of his soul. And it's trying to remove any shemitz, any trace of the Yetzirah. So we're not going to rely on Bittel. Over there it's going to be Chametz B'mashu, Bayurah, Bayimotzeh, Achbi Emarishin, Tashbisu, already Mishay Shoy, Sulamayla, etc., etc. Says the Radvaz, you really want to understand all the chumras that you find in Ilchas Chametz. It's all in the Pnimiya Satari. Either way, with that note, we have another sugya, where the laws of chametz meet the laws of nashim, nezikin, a very geshmaka, lomdisha, gemara. Today's daf feels like a daf in Masechtas Ksubis or Bava Metzia. Zok de Mishnah. Nach Risha Hilves Yisrael al Chemtzoy, Achara Pesach. If a guy loaned money to a yid, and the arrangement was that the yid set aside collateral to pay back this loan. What was the collateral? Chametz. The Nachri is the malva. The yid is the loifa, and the yid's chametz is the mashkin. It's the collateral. So the halacha is mutabahana. After Pesach, this chametz is going to be mutabahana, meaning it's not treated as chametz sha'avar al Pesach. What's the reason? Because being that the yid designated this mashkin for the guy, so we look at it as if the guy already has ownership in it. And if he has ownership in it, chametz of a guy, sha'avar olav ha-pesach, that was the previous Mishnah, is mutter b'hanah. Chametz shal Yisrael sha'avar olav ha-pesach is asabana. Chametz shal nachi sha'avar olav ha-pesach is mutter b'hanah. Being that the yid set aside his chametz as a mashkin for this loan, so we look at it as already belonging to the guy, it's mutter b'hanah. Yisrael shal ves nachri al-chametz. What if in the reverse? What if the Yisrael was the malva and the nachri was the loiva? So then the halach is achar ha-pesach asabana. Then it's going to be asar b'hanah. Why? Because even though the chametz technically belongs to a guy, it's his chametz, but he set it aside as a mashkin for this law. So really, on some level, it belongs to the yid. It belongs to the yid. The halach is, it's chametz Yisrael sh'avar lav ha-pesach. The halach is, it's going to be aser be'hanah. Zok the gemara itmar. Bal chayv. As it relates to a bal chayv. Abaya says, l'mafreya hu gayva. Rava, mikanu lahaba'u gaiva. So just from the words of Abaye and Rava, you can tell this is a major machloikis. So what exactly is the machloikis Abaye and Rava? If a malva lends money to a loifa, the malva goes and he now collects his loan. Do we assume that this that he collected is his mikanu lahaba from the time that he collected it? Or is there some concept that l'mafreya hu gaiva? That on some level, we could look at it as if this was already his from the time that the loan was already made. Meaning, being that from the time that the loan was initiated, this loan was destined to be paid up. So the assumption is maybe on some level, from a halachic perspective, when the malva goes and he collects this loan, we can look at it as already being the mafreya. Now, pashtus, we're talking about whether it was a mashke. So Reuven loaned money to Shimon. There's a malva and there's a loiva. The loiva set aside a mashkin, and now the malva went and he collected this mashkin. So do we say mikanu lahaba it is, or do we say l'mafreya it is? So what's the nafkamina? Says the Gemara, kol heichad akdish loiva v'zovin loiva kuli amalei pligid asa malva v'tara v'asei malva v'parik. Meaning, in the event that the loiva would go and he would take this mashkin and he would sell it, or that he would go ahead and he would be makdish it. There's no machloikis abai v'rova. We don't have to get involved in lamdis, whether the malva is goyvel amafreya or if he's goyvel mekano laba. Meaning, everybody would agree that any sale that the loiva tried to make with this piece of collateral, or if he was makdish it, it's going to be null and void. Meaning the malva can come and he can take back this thing that was sold. Or the malva can go to hekdish and he could redeem this thing that the loiva was makdish. How do you know the malva could redeem this thing that the loiva was makdish? We learned in the Mishnah, Moisef Aydina, Upaides Hanachasim Ha'elo. This is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Erevin, Erechin, Ayin Rashi, and Rashi explains exactly what the context is. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, that's Pashat, that if the loiva would go and the loiva would take this that he's going to at some point have to give the malva, and he would sell it, or he would be makdish it. So obviously, he doesn't have the ability to do anything. So what's the machlekes of Ivar Rava? Where does it matter whether we say balchayv is l'mafreya or machayv is mikanu l'avaki pligi the zavin malva? Where it matters is if the malva would be the one, and he would sell this mashkin that at some point he hopes to get, or the kaddish malva, or the malva would go and he would be makdish it. He would make it hektish. Abaya, I'm afraid you'll go. Abaya says, I'm afraid you'll go. Kiven the matas mani v'lo pare. Abaya holds that in the event that the time comes and the malva goes to the loiva and he says, you owe me money. He doesn't have any money. Okay, so I'm going to take this collateral. Whenever it was designated for the loan. So, Gloy Milsalam Afreya, it comes out now that we realize retroactively that made Karabish was the Avikai, that this was his already from the onset. Because from the onset, this is like a brera. Sugi a little bit. Not really, but a little bit. It looks like at the time, now it was Nisbala, he was never really going to pay the loan. So that means the Malva already owned this that was designated towards his loan. So if that's the case, Vishapra Akdish, Vishapra Zobin, if he was Makdish it, if he sold it, he had the right to do it. Rava says, Mikanu Lahabu Gaiva. Rava says, no. The whole ability that the Malva would have to be Makdish, that's once he's Gaivit. Once he's Gaivit, he could do it. Why? Because given the Lahavalu Zuzi, have a Masalik Labizuzi, because being that if the Leva had money to pay back the loan in the conventional way, that's something he could have done. So Ishtakh Tahashtakani. So it comes out that no, now when he pays, or when you go and you take this piece of collateral, so you're taking the collateral, Mikanu Lahabu, but there's no reason to assume that you have a Lemafre. Bottom line is, we have a Machloik between Abaye and Rava. Every time Bal Chayv collects from his loiva, this collateral that was set aside towards the loan? Is it lemafreya hu goiva, or is it mikanu lahaba hu goiva? Abaye said lemafreya hu goiva, Rava said mikanu lahaba hu goiva. What's the nafkamina? So the Gemara said what the nafkamina is not, and then the Gemara said what the nafkamina is. What is the nafkamina? Let's skip to the punchline. The nafkamina is, in the event that the malva, before he actually took possession of this that he ultimately took possession of, had he sold this chefetz, or had he been makdish this chefetz at that point, then he takes possession of it. Do we say that l'mafreya the mecha was already chal, and l'mafreya the hektish went into effect? Or no, you don't say that. What are the two tzadim? Abaye looked at it from the standpoint, listen, at the end of the day, I ended up taking possession of it. Once I took possession, igloy mils l'mafreya, retroactively, we now see that I was always oymed, I was always destined to take possession of it. If I was destined to take possession of it, so it was always mine. If it was always mine, I had the ability to sell it. I had the ability to be makdish it. Rava says, no, it doesn't work that way. L'maisa, at that time that you were makdish it, at that time that you sold it, in theory, there was no way of knowing for sure that you were going to end up having it. As a result, Allah is mikanu lahaba, it's going to be mikanu lahaba. So the Gemara is going to tie the machlekes Abayev Rav into our Mishnah, which is obviously why the Gemara is bringing the machlekes Abayev Rav in our sugya. But before the Gemara does that, the Gemara is going to ask a stira in Rav. Frag the Gemara. Miyama Rav hachi. Did Rav say this? What? That balchoiv is mikanu lahaba hu goiva. Rami Bar Chama said Reuven shemachasad l'Shimon. This is a little bit of a complicated case. Reuven sold his field to Shimon. Bachrayis. He sold the Bachrayis. What does it mean if you sell something Bachrayis? So Reuven sells his field to Shimon, and he tells Shimon that in the event that one of my creditors comes and claims that I had no right to sell this field to you, I'm going to make you whole. So Reuven told Shimon, I'm selling it to you, and I'm giving you a guarantee that it's mine. So much so that if somebody comes and claims that it really belongs to him, you have no problem. I'll cut you a check. I'll make sure that I make you whole. Number one. Number two, these are two different components to this transaction. V'zokfen olav emilfa. Shimon, when he bought this field, he didn't have money. So rather than pay for this field that he bought, he gave the seller a note. He basically told him that when I have the money, I'm going to pay you for it. Meaning, instead of paying with cash, he paid with a milva. So two things happened. Reuven sold the field to Shimon, be'achrayis, which means that if someone ever comes and takes the field away from Shimon, Shimon could always go back to Reuven. Okay, fine. That's number one. And number two, Shimon didn't even pay for it. All Shimon did was is give him a milva, which means that Reuven's holding some paper that says that at some point, whatever the terms are, Shimon's going to have to pay. Okay, umes Reuven. Reuven died. This whole transaction fell apart. Number one, Reuven died. Number two, Reuven's Balchayv came and he wanted to take the field from Shimon. So Shimon's sitting and Shimon's saying like this. Okay, so basically what has to happen is I'm going to have to give the field now to the Balchayv of Reuven. Reuven's not even alive, so I can't even deal with him. But I have to give him the field. I bought the field by Achrayis, which means I'll be able to go to Reuven's Yesoimim and have myself be made whole. But the truth is, I never even paid for the field. So the Yisraelim are going to then come to me, and they're going to want the money. So Reuven said, let me cut out the middleman. It's like a shmaka case. So what he did instead was, he just took a check, and he gave the money that in theory he's supposed to give to Reuven, and he just gave it to Reuven's creditors. So like this, everybody's happy. He gave the money to Reuven's creditors. That's essentially the way he ended up paying for the field. So he paid for the field and everything is fine. Talk to Gemara. Upayse bezuzeh. If he went ahead and gave him the money, Dina hu da'asi b'nei Reuven ba'amri le'ashim. So Shimon, it seems like what he did was very practical. But the truth is, it doesn't work. Because if the b'nei Reuven want, they have a right to go to Shimon and they can tell Shimon the following. Anan metalteli shavak avun gavach. When our father died, he left over metalteling in your rishos. He left over a note. We yarshin our father. One of the things that we yarshin was is any accounts receivables that he had, any money that anybody owed him. It also happened that he had this piece of paper that said that you took his field and you owed him for the field. Okay. Umitalfli diyasmi lo balchayv lo mishtabdi. Mitalfli diyasmi is lo mishtabdi lo balchayv. Which means, you really had to give me back that money and you have no way of taking that money back from me. You know why? Because a balchayv is not allowed to be goyva mitaltalin from Yisoymim on behalf of a loan that their father made. So basically, the Yisoymim went over to Shimon, and the Yisoymim told Shimon, you owe us money.
So what do you mean you owe us money? Yeah, my father sold you a field. You left over, you never paid him for it. You have to give it. He says, one second. I gave it to your father's creditors. I don't know about my father's creditors. My father's creditors can't come over to me. What do you want for my life? You owe me money. That was mine. I had a milvah sitting in your house. Give me the chayv. So Shimon ends up really, really getting hurt over here. Because Shimon, l'chura, is going to have to now pay back the Bnei Ruvain for the original field that he got that he never paid for. Now, in theory, he should be able to go back to the Bnei Ruvain and tell the Bnei Ruvain that, I understand, but I bought this field b'achrayis, so give me back my money. You know, I understand I have to pay for the field. I don't even have the field anymore. The field was taken away from me. They're going to say, listen, I understand my father got a deal with you and there was a chrayis, but, I don't have to give it to you. You're a bal chayv. If you're a bal chayv, I don't have to give it to you. And by the way, the fact that Shimon already cut a check to Ruvain's creditors, who cares? That's neither here nor there. So at the end of the day, Shimon thought he was being clever. He was certainly being practical. He was being logical. He seemed to have been gotten good advice. But whoever was advising him, counseling him, didn't know halacha. And basically what's going to happen is, based on these halachas, he's going to end up losing. Amar Rava. So Rava came in. And Rava said like this, Ipikeach Shimon. If Shimon is smart, this is what Shimon would do. Magvil hu ara. Shimon would say, all right, I owe you money? No worries. Here's money. He'd give them karka. Don't give them metaltalim. Give them karka. Once he gives them karka, then he can take the karka back. Why? Rav Nachman said, if Yisoymin collected karka on behalf of a chayv that their father had, now loch is a bal chayv is allowed to go, and he's allowed to be chayzer v'goyvet it from him. In other words, if Yisoymin were left with accounts payables and accounts receivables, right? A man died. And after this man died, he left over Yisoymin. He also left over a bal chayv. He left over creditors. But he also left over receivables. There were people that owed him money. So he owed people money, and people owed him money. So Rav Nachman said like this, if Yisoymin went and they collected karka, b'chayves aviyem, if they collected karka on behalf of money that was left for their father, the bal chayv is allowed to take that karka, and is allowed and take that karka away from the Yisoymin. So basically what Rava said was, is that if this person's smart, he would do what Rav Nachman said. What did Rav Nachman? He would give the Yisoymin. Yisoymin want money? Right, again, why did Yisoymin want money? Because you bought my father's field and he never paid for it. What do you mean? You gave the money to the creditors? What does that have to do with me? Maman of Shach, after you pay me, you're going to want me to give you the money back because you bought a bachrayas? No, metalfli diasmi, labal chayv lay mishtabi. It's not something you have to do. So Rava said, I'll tell you what you should do. Give him karka, or you give him karka, any karka that the Yisoymim get. B'chayv esavim, that the bal chayv can be chayz of a goyva. Then you'll be able to take the karka back. What's the problem? What does it have to do with anything? I am a bishloim lamafreya u goyva. Satkumar bishloim, if bal chayv is lamafreya u goyva. That's the way it always works with a bal chayv. Amtu lahachi chayz of a goyva is meh. Then I understand the halacha of Rav Nachman, that Rav is quoting, and that is Yisoymim shegavu karka b'chayves aviyim. If Yisoymim were collected karka because of a note that their father had, the halach is the bal chayv is allowed to take it away from them. Why is the bal chayv allowed to take it away from them? Because bal chayv is l'mafreya hu goyva. If bal chayv is l'mafreya hu goyva, that means when the Yisoymim collected this chayv of their father, is as if the father already collected it. It's from Afreya. It goes back retroactive to the time of the law. So if that's the case, it's kiman degavu michayim davu undamu. It's as if this was collected during the lifetime of the father, and that's why if the father had it while he was alive, and now he died, so Yisoymim are going to be responsible to take care of it. Eli yamim mikanu labo ogayvu. But if you're going to tell me that the way a bal chayv works is it's always mikanu lahaba amai chayz of a goy vayis a man. How do you understand Rav Nachman's halacha? That Rava was quoting halacha lamaisa, trying to help out Shimon in that situation. L'chura, why is it that if the assignment would be goy v'chayv, the halacha is then a bal chayv would be able to take it away from them? Ha'avi commander zavin yasmi nachzidami. Why isn't this like a case where Yisoymin went and they bought nechasim, where the halach is ve'ilu kani yasmi nachsi mikam eshtabdi lebal chayv? Right, is there anyone in the world that's going to tell you that if a man dives, he leaves over Yisoymim, and he left over creditors, he left over $1 million in chayvis. Now, 5 years later, one of these Yisoymim, he strikes it big. Suddenly he has a lot of money. So the creditors come to the Yisayim. They say, listen, your father died years ago. He left over these chayvis. When he died, he had no money. So we had no one to collect from. Now you made money. We wanted from you. He's going to look at you. What do you want from my life? That was the Tata. He died. He left over chayvis. I'm not responsible to pay for that. That's Pasha. So the Gemara's time is, what's Pshana Rav Nachman? Yisayim shagavu karka b'chayvis aviyim. Bal chayv chayz of a goyvim ahen. A man died. He left over Yisayim. The Yisayim went and they collected money. So an halacha is a bal chayv can go take it away from them. What's the kashya? If bal chayv is mikanu lahaba, so it comes out when the Yisayim collect this money, they just fell into the money right now. If they fell into the money right now, so how should, why is the bal chayv allowed to take it? It should be no different than if they made money at some point in the future. With halacha is the bal chayv is not allowed to take it. It's a bishlam if bal chayv is a mafreya ugoiva. So it's as if the father already had it. So if the father had it, it's as if the father died and was murdered over to the children. So it makes sense why a bachayv is allowed to take it. But if it's going to be mikanu lahaba, then how does it work? So from the fact that Rava quoted Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman's shtickle seems to only work if Bal Chayv is l'mafreya hu goyva, this would seem to be a raya that Rava holds Bal Chayv l'mafreya hu goyva. So afraid to Gemara, mi amar Rava hachi, did Rava say that Bal Chayv is mikanu lahaba? L'churi, you see from here that Bal Chayv is really, l'mafreya. So Gemara says no. Could be really Bal Chayv mikan ulahaba hu goyva. What's the kasha? Rav Nachman's halacha. And Rava's application of Rav Nachman's halacha. What was Rav Nachman's halacha again? Yisoyimim shagavu karka b'choyv esavim. Bal choyv choyzer v'goyv ha'oysamayim. What's the kashna? Why is the bal choyv allowed to take the choyv that the Yisoyimim were goyva if the choyv that the Yisoyimim were goyva is deemed to be mikanu la'aba? So it comes out, it's as if they acquired it after the father's death. If they acquired it after the father's death, there's no reason that the Bachayv should have any lien on it. So the Gemara says, there it's different. You know why? Because over there, what's happening is, one Bachayv is going and is taking from the Yisayimim what they themselves were goyva from a different Bachayv. Right? That's essentially what's happened. Meaning, the Yisayimim collected from Reuven, and now Shimon wants to take from the Yisayim what they collected from Reuven. Zok the Gemara, you know why they could do that? Because the way we look at it in Lamdas is not that Shimon is collecting from the Yisayim what the Yisayim collected from Reuven, but Shimon is taking it directly from Reuven. And what's the source to Shimon taking it directly from Reuven? It's what we know as Shabuda Dereb, Nasan Kihecha, the Mishtabadna Leila Avuchain, Mishtabadni Nami, the Valchayda Avuchain. Mid Rab Nasan, this is Rab Nasan's Allah. Time Rab Nasan, Rab Nasan, Seven, Nine, the Noishabachaberim Mana. How do you know that if Reuven owes money to Shimon and Shimon owns money to Levi? So the halach is that the Reuven can go and collect from Levi, or Levi could collect from Reuven, right? How do you know that you're able to cut out the middleman whenever it comes to being Maitzi Mom and Tamal Loimes, Linta from a Pasik? We'll explain what this means a little bit after the daf. But the point is, since there's a concept, Shibuddha Rab Nasan, Zakhti Gemara, the Yisoyim from Nachman's halacha of why the Bal Chayv could collect from the Yisoyim who just collected from the Bal Chayv is because we look at it as if the Bal Chayv is collecting it directly from the person that the Yisayim took it from. It works, midin shibuda de Rav Nosson. And that's what Rava was advising that year, this Shimon. He was telling Shimon, go ahead and give the karka to the Yisayim and then take it back from the Yisayim. How's that going to work? How could you take it back from the Yisayim? If Bal Chayv is mikanu lahaba hu goyva, so it comes out that the Yisayim acquired it after the death of their father. If they acquired it after the death of their father, how would Shimon have a right to take it? The Teretz is Shimon's taking it with Shabuda de Rab Nasan. Incidentally, that's a little bit of a geshmak of knech, because did the Shabuda de Rab Nasan is all Shimon, right? Shimon is the one, he's the malva, he's the loiva, he's everything. But it doesn't matter. The mechanics of it end up working like a Shabuda de Rab Nasan. The bottom line is this is not a steer to Rav Ashita that Bal Chayv is Mikanu lahaba hu goyva. Bottom line, we have a machloekis abayev and Rava. Whether Bal Chayv is mafreya hu goyva or mikanu lahaba hu goyva. When a Bal Chayv is goyva, do we look at it as if he already had it from the time it alone, or do we look at it as mikanu lahaba? The Gemara said, what's the practical nafkamina? So the one nafkamina that the Gemara gave, there's another one that's implied from the previous Gemara, but the one that the Gemara gave was what would be if the malva was makdish it, or if the malva was maknit during that interim period, in the lamafreya period. Is it going to go into effect? Is it not going to go into effect? So what does it have to do with our sugya tonight? We learned in our Mishnah, if a guy loaned money to a yid, and he used the yid's chametz as collateral, what's the halacha? Achra Pesach, mutamana. after Pesach, the chametz is going to be mutabana. Why is it going to be mutabana? Because even though it's the chametz of a yid and it's chametz over all of a Pesach, but this chametz of the yid that's over all of a Pesach, the yid posted as collateral for this loan, and being that he posted it as collateral for the loan, so we look at it as being the chametz of the guys. He has the lien. And as a result, it's mutabana. If the way a bal chayv works is mutabana, I understand why it's mutabana. Why is it mutabana? On Pesach, all it was collateral. Nobody collected it on Pesach yet, but when he collects it, it's going to work l'mafreya. So it's going to work l'mafreya, it's as if it's the guys. So it's chomet shel nachri she'ov al v'pesach. Iliyam mikanu l'habo goy. But if you're going to tell me that the way it works is mikanu l'habo, am I mutabana? Why is it mutabana? Rishu sedi Yisrael, have a koy. At that time, when Pesach came, isn't when the Rishu sedi yid. If it was in the Rishu sedi yid, so it's chomet shel Yisrael she'ov al v'pesach. Chomet shel Yisrael she'ov al v'pesach is also bana. So the Mishnah would seem to be a major raya tabaya. Not like Rava, so the Gemara says, and this is the first of the fine print that we're going to see in this machlokes of Ayav Rava, and that is kishehirhinu etzlein. It's the Mishnah is not talking about a regular mashkin. The Mishnah is talking about a mashkin where the mashkin was placed inside the reshus of the malva, where the loiva took the mashkin and he physically gave it to the malva, and that makes a difference because even Rava that holds that bal chayv is mikanu lahaba, he only holds bal chayv is mikanu lahaba when the mashkin is not in the reshus of the malva. But once it's in the reshus of the malva, over there, even Rav is going to agree that it's l'mafrei. So according to Abaye, you can learn the Mishnah Pashit. The Mishnah is talking simply where you have a regular bal chayv, regular mashkin, even if it wasn't in the reshus of the malva. According to Rav, that ordinarily it's mikanu lahaba, in the Mishnah would seem very stark that it's l'mafrei. Yeah, it's true. Because the Mishnah is talking about where it was in the Rishos of the Malva. Lema Ketanoi. So to Gemara, it would seem maybe that this Machloik is in Abayi V'Rava. Bal Chayv L'Mafrei, Bal Chayv L'Mekanu L'Aba is really Machloik is Tanam. Yisrael Shavu L'Nachri Al Chemtza. It's all the same case. Yisrael, that loaned money to a guy, and the guy posted Chometz as collateral Achara Pesach, after Pesach. Any other, the Allah is, there's not going to be any din of Chometz over all of a Pesach. So this is the reverse halacha that we saw in the Mishnah, right? A Yisrael loaned money to a guy. The guy gave the yid chametz as collateral. The halacha is einoy oifer, right? In the Mishnah, it said oifer because it's in the reshus of the yid. If it's in the reshus of the yid, so it's chametz over all of a Pesach. But the Braisa says einoy oifer. Shum Rameir, Amu Rameir said oifer. No, you are going to be oifer. So what's the machloike? Is my lab alkamilki the masav l'mafreyu goyver? Umarasav mikanu labu goyver. And if you hold l'mafreyu goyver, so then l'mafrey belongs to the yid, so it's going to be chametz of all of a Pesach. If you say mikanu labu, then it's not l'mafrey of the yid. It was the guys. If it was the guys, it's not chametz of all of a Pesach. So the marv tizbara. How can you say that's the machloike? It's not possible because ema seifa. This brisa has a seifa. What did the brisa? What did the seifa say? Avol nachishul v'liyisrael. What if it was in the reverse? Not the yid loaned it to the guy, but the guy loaned it to a yid. Al chemtzay for the yid's chametz. What's the law? Everyone holds it's going to be chomet over all of a Pesach. So it's the same exact case, just in the reverse. If the yid loaned it to a guy, oh, that's a machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim. If a guy loaned it to a yid, everybody holds he's going to be over. What's Mekasha? The halacha should be Ipcha. What do you mean, Ipcha? It should be the reverse of what it was in the Reisha. According to the Rameir in the previous price, that when a yid loans it to a guy, you're not oiver. Hacha oiver. Over here, when the guy lends it to the yid, you should be oiver. And lamandam hasam oiver. The mandam that says now when the yid lends it to a guy, you are oiver. Hacha any oiver. You shouldn't be oiver. Right? The point is, it should be the exact opposite. The two cases should be the antithesis of each other. Because mamanam shach, if it's l'mafreya, so then you look at it as if it's in the rishos of the malva. If it's mikanu lahaba, then you look at it as it's in the rishos of the loiva. So there's just, it's very hard to read this brisa unless we do a little bit of editing to the brisa. Elo, you have to make an akim. You know what the Bryce is talking about? It's talking about the same akimta that Rava made in the Mishnah. It's talking about where this wasn't just an ordinary mashkin, but rather this was a mashkin where the mashkin was placed inside the reshus of the malva. Okay, the kamiflgi and the machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim. Again, what was the machloikis? Yisrael loaned money to a nachri. The collateral was chametz. After Pesach, is it chametz over all of a Pesach or no? Rav Meir said, ain't no oiver. We look at it as being chametz of a guy. The Chachamim said, oiver. The halacha is that you are going to be oiver, right? No, I'm sorry. The Chachamim said, Eino Yoiver, Mishum Rameir Amur Oiver. Rameir says, you're going to be Yoiver. Right? Just flip the names. But the point is, we have a Machloikis over here. So the Gemara says that, what's the Machloikis? Machloikis is the Kamifli, but the Rabbi Yitzchak. The Machloikis is Rabbi Yitzchak Salach. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Yitzchak. How do you know that a Machloikis is kind of Mashkin? Shenema, the Pasuk says, Ulacha Tia Tzedakah. The Pasuk says that a Yid, when he receives a Mashkin, he's supposed to return the Mashkin at night, right? So there's a whole bunch of halachas of what you do with a Mashkin. But Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha, we just need to punch on Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. And that is that when you give the Mashkin back, you're doing a very righteous thing. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, I'm in a kind of Mashkin, stock him in night. If the Ma'uv is not kind of the Mashkin, then what's the big tzedakah that he's doing when he returns the Mashkin? He can. So Rabbi Yitzchak proved from here, the Baal Chayv is a kind of Mashkin. You see from here that a Baal Chayv is kind of Mashkin. Okay, and it's that machloikis that everything is hinging upon. Tanakama Sava, Tanakama holds. Hani Mili, what is it true that a Baal Chayv is kind of Mashkin? That's Yisrael mi Yisrael. If a Yid lends money to a Yisrael, one Yid to another Yid, he's kind of the Mashkin. Why? The Karina Be'u L'chati Yitzdaka. That's where you have this then. Aval Yisrael mi Nachri. If a Yid would lend money to a guy, like Kani, over there the halacha is the Yid would not be kind of the Mashkin. So if the Yid is not kind of the Mashkin, whose does the Mashkin belong to? It belongs to the guy. The Yid loaned money to the guy. The Chametz was the Mashkin. The Yid was not kind of the Mashkin, according to the Tanakhama. Why wasn't he kind of the Mashkin? Because only a Yid to a Yid is he kind of the Mashkin, not to a Yid to a guy, so it belongs to the guy. If it belongs to a guy, so it's not Chametz Shalva of a Pesach. Rameir Sava Kalvachaymer. Rameir says the Kalvachaymer. Yisrael, Yisrael, Kani, Yisrael, Minachi, like Oshkein. If a Yid who gives a Mashkin to a Yid, the Yid is kind of the Mashkin, then certainly when a Yid takes a Mashkin from a guy, he's going to be kind of the Mashkin. And if that's the case, when the Yid takes the Mashkin from the guy, so he was kind of it. If he was kind of it, so it's Chametz Shalva of a Pesach of a Yid. Aval Nachri Shil Ves Yisrael. But what about the reverse? That was the Sefer the Braisa when the guy loaned it to the Yisrael, Al Chemtsoi. Achara Pesach, Divrei HaKol Oiver. Everyone's going to hold your Oiver. Why? Why is everybody going to hold your Oiver? Because again, we're dealing with the shail over here is whether Baal Chayv Koyin is Mashkin or Baal Chayv is not Koyin of Mashkin. And over there, where the guy is the Malv and the Yid is the Loiva, Vaday Nachem Yisrael Lekani. Everybody agrees that the guy is not Koyin of the Mashkin. So if the guy is Vaday, not Koyin of the Mashkin, so everyone is going to agree then that it belongs to the Yid, and if it belongs to the Yid, it's going to be Chametz Shavur Olav HaPesach, and that's the Seifa. Avol Nachri Shehil V'li Yisrael Al Chimtzoi L'Achra HaPesach Divrei HaKol Oiver. Either way, the Gemara thought it had a Mefurish Machloikis Tana, maybe, with regards to this Shiloh Baal Chayv L'Mafreya or Baal Chayv Mikanu L'Haba. The Gemara said that, no, really, that Machloikis is talking about whether it was a Mashkin. Obviously, that's what we're discussing, but the shaila is Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha, whether Baal Chayv is kind of Mashkin or Baal Chayv is not kind of Mashkin, and that's what the Machloikis is. The Machloikis has nothing to do with Abaye V'Rava Tanan. A little bit more. Nachri Shehilva, Yisrael Al Chemtzoi. Going back to our Mishnah, if a Nachri loans money again to a Yid, and the Yid posts his Chametz as the Mashkin, Achra Pesach, after Pesach, Nalachis Mutabana. It's going to be Mutabana. So the question is, what's Pshat in that line in the Mishnah? What's the shaila? Nei, nami dehir hinu etzlo. Even if you're going to make an akimta, and you're going to tell me it's talking about where the loiva took the mashkin, he put it into the rishos of the malva, so that you can maybe invoke the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said Baal Chayv is kind of mashkin. The problem is, the malva is the yid, the loiva is the guy, and ha'amrit, I'm sorry, the malva is the guy, and the loiva is the yid, and we said, nachrim yisrael, like kani, that everybody holds that a guy cannot be kind of the mashkin of a yid. So the question is, why is it that it's mutter behana? So if the guy loaned money to Yisrael, so the halach is mutter behana. Why is it mutter behana? L'chayra, even if the mashkin was placed in the rishos of the malva, but there's no Baal Chayv kind of mashkin over here. So if that's the case, it should belong to Yisrael. Now let's just speak it out a drop further. Bishlam, if you hold like Abaya, that Baal Chayv is always Goyvel Mafreya, so then you understand why it's Mutabana. Forget about Baal Chayv Koyin Mashkin. Forget about whether you have Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. Every Baal Chayv is always Goyvel Mafreya. So if every Baal Chayv is always Goyvel Mafreya, the Malva was the Goy, the Loiva was the Yisrael, so it makes perfect sense then why the halach is that it's mutar b'hana? It's mutar b'hana because the balchayv been goyim l'afrei. The catch is according to Rava that the balchayv is only goyim mikano l'abba, so that means on Pesach it really belonged to Yisrael. And the fact that he put it into the reshus of the malva, and you have Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha is not going to help me over here, because when the malva is a goy and the loiv is a yid, you don't have Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha. So how does this work? So Gemara says like kasha, we have to make one more akim to hada amalei meyachshav. One is talking about where the Malva told the Loiva that I want you to be able to be Goiva, the Mashkin, Me'achshav, from now. And the other one's talking about where he didn't say Me'achshav. Meaning, even if you hold that Balchayv is really Goiva, Mikanu Laba, and even if you hold that there's no Balchayv Goiva Mashkin, when Koina Mashkin, when the Malva's a Goy and the Loiva's a Yid, but in the event that he said you could be koinet me'achshav, over there everybody is going to agree that it is koinet me'achshav, and that's the akimta that we're going to have to make in the Mishnah. Is there a precedent for this halacha that there's a difference in the world of mashkin whether you send me'achshav or not? Yeah, the Tanya went to the price. Anachri sheherin pas porni yitzli Yisrael. Anachri that gave pas porni just means very big bread. But he took bread and he gave it as a mashkin and into the house of the Yisrael. Eina yoyver. The halacha is he's not going to be yoyver. Amalei he got tich, but if he said he got tich, which is the equivalent of saying me'achshav, oyver. Oh, then the halach is he's going to be maishna reisha, maishna seif. The Gemara explains. No, the difference must be shani heichad amalei me'achshav, the heichad aloy amalei me'achshav shmamino. So you see this concept that if you say me'achshav, then for sure we look at it as if it's yours right now. The bottom line is our Mishnah, according to Rava, you're going to have to say is talking about when he said me'achshav. So just to exhale for 1 second, because this last Gemara is actually a dot of a digression, and that is we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a malva-loiva relationship where somebody loaned money to somebody else, there was collateral, and the collateral was chametz. The malva was a yid, the loiva was a guy, the malva was a guy, the loiva was a yid. And the question now is, who owns the collateral? Does the collateral belong to the loiva, or does it belong to the malva? Very big nafkamina. If it's chametz shel nachri she'avar alav ha-pesach, it's going to be mutar b'hana now. If it's chametz shel yisrael she'avar alav ha-pesach, it's going to be asur b'hana. And the Mishnah seemed to say that we look at the malva. The Mishnah said, nachri she'hilves yisrael al chemtza. If the nachri was the malva, and the yid was the one who put up the chametz as collateral, mutar b'hana. If the yisrael was the malva, and the guy is the one that put up the chametz, then it's going to be asur b'hana. It sounds like you go based on the malva. And the Gemara discussed it in light of all the halachas of Mashkin. And really what emerges, just to skip to the bottom line, what emerges is a machlokes Abaye v'Rava had to understand the Mishnah. Abaye understood the Mishnah very simply. Abaye holds balchayv l'mafreya hu goyva, which means that the Mashkin, when the balchayv will be goyva, it will be considered to be his l'mafreya. So we look at it on Pesach as if it already belonged to the Malva. So if on Pesach we looked at it as if it already belonged to the Malva, so it's very pashut why the halacha is that if the Malva is a goy, then it's chametz shel nachri she'avar alav ha-pesach. And if the Malva is a yid, then it's chametz shel yisrael she'avar alav ha-pesach. Where the Gemara had a challenge was in Rava. Rava holds that Baal Chayv is goy v'mikanu l'haba. He's not goy v'mafreya. So according to Rava, that the Baal Chayv is always goy v'mikanu l'haba. So the question is, so why then is the... Do we always look at the malva? It's going to be the malva once he collects it. But if he didn't collect it on Pesach, so then really it's mikanu l'haba. So the Gemara says, you have to make an akimta. You have to say it's not talking about a regular mashkin. It's talking about where the mashkin was, meaning it wasn't just designated as from where the payment was going to be made. It was physically placed into the reshus of the malva. That's number one. Once it's physically placed into the reshus of the malva, even Rava agrees that it's going to be, even Rava agrees it's going to be l'mafreya, as it relates to the case where the Nachri was the one that loaned it to the Yisrael. So there the Gemara added another knech that you have to say, not only is it talking about where the Malva was in the Rishus of the Malva, where the Mashka was in the Rishus of the Malva, but it's talking about where he specifically stipulated that I want this to work Me'achshav. If he specifically stipulated and he said I want it to work Me'achshav, that's where it works on Mafreya, not an easy Gemara, but Vaita. Tanu Rabbanon, Chanus Shal Yisrael. There was a store that belonged to a Yid, a Malay Shal Yisrael, and there was Schayr that belonged to a Yid, Upayal Nachrim, and the workers were non-Jewish. This is a Jewish store, Jewish kosher food, of an Ain't a Yehudi workers. So the halacha is chametz shenim to shem. If you find chametz over there, achra pesach asabana. The halacha is it's going to be asabana because we assume that the chametz is from a yid and it's chametz sheyisrael shavala v'pesach. Ain't zor chlemin b'achila. It's pasha. It's going to be asabachila. Chanos shal nachri b'nei shal nachri pa'ila yisrael. What if this is oilam hafachra? You see, what if the chanos the store belonged to a nachri, the schara belonged to a nachri, and the workers over there are all yidin? Then nichnasim v'yoytzim l'sham chametz shenim to shem achra pesach mutar b'achila. It's going to be mutar. Why? Because we assume that it belongs not to the workers, but we assume that it belongs to the store and to whom the schayr belongs. That's pashit, that it's going to be mutter b'hana as well. Just one ha'ara. One ha'ara as it relates to today's intense daf, and that is, the Gemara mentioned the halacha of Shibuda de Rab Nosson. What's Shibuda de Rab Nosson? Rab Nosson said, minayim v'noyshe b'chaveroi mana, v'chaveroi b'chaveroi, Shemoitzian mizeh v'noisnun lozeh. Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon loaned money to Levi. So the halacha is that Reuven has a right to go collect his loan from Levi. Okay, Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000. Shimon loaned Levi $1,000. Reuven wants $1,000. So you can go to Reuven. Or if he wants, he has a right, he can go to Levi. It's what's known as Shibuda de Rab Nosson. What's the cheshmen? It's very simple. Shimon owes money to Reuven, and Levi owes money to Shimon. So, in theory, right, Levi really owes money to Reuven. No, he really doesn't owe money to Reuven. Levi never met Reuven. He has no idea who he is. But afal pikin, Rab Nosson was mechadish. It's what's known as Shibuda de Rab Nosson. That minayin lo noish b'chaveri mona b'chaveri b'chaveri shemetziyim v'zeh v'noisim l'zeh. Talmud loy matzlunta from the pasuk that says, v'nosan la'asher osham loy. Now, what's the makar? What's the makar to Rav Nosson's halach? It's a pasuk. It's learned out from a pasuk in Bamidbar Perikei Pasuk Zayin. The context over there is the halachos of the Asham Gezelos. Reuven goes over to Shimon and he tells Shimon, you stole something from me. Shimon says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, you stole from me. He swears that he didn't steal. And then 5 minutes later, he says, you know what? You're right. I stole. I lied. He says, I really, so what's the halacha? So obviously, Shimon has to make Reuven whole. He has to tack on a chaymish, and there's even a carbon asham. This is what's known as the asham gezelos. The pasuk, when it mentions the halach of the asham gezelos, it says the pasuk, v'hisvadu es chatosam asher asu, v'heishn ves ashamay b'roishay, you have to pay, v'chamishisa yoysef olav, you have to add on a chaymish, v'nosan, and who do you give this all to? La'asher asham loy. You give it la'asha asham loy. And the Gemara by us doesn't go through the drasha. But we learn, Chazal learned from here, the Gemara Masechtas Bava Kama says, now what does it mean la'asha asham loy? It means that you give it to the person shehakeren shaloy. Meaning the understanding in your classic case of asham gezelos is that whoever's claiming that you stole from him, that's the person that you're going to have to give it to. But what the Gemara is saying is that in the event that this person that you're now going to have to pay money to, owed money to somebody else, so says the Torah, v'nasan la'asher asham lo, you give the money to that person. You don't dafka have to give it to the nigzal. You can potentially give the money to someone that the nigzal owes money to. In other words, shibuda de Rab Nosson. So this is the halacha of shibuda de Rab Nosson. Did Rab Nosson know the halacha of shibuda de Rab Nosson? He learned it out from a pasuk. V'nasan la'asher asham loy, ayin soif mesachtes bavakama. But that's the gist of it. The gist of it is the Torah used an interesting word, asham loy, to teach me that you don't necessarily give the money to the nigzal, but you give the money to someone that the nigzal owes the money to. The k'tzoy sachoshin in Simen Pei Vav, Sivkot Aleph brings from the Rishonim in different places in Shas, the Rashban and the Masechtas Kedushin, and the Ran and Masechtas Ksubis, and the Rashban and Tshuva, v'chule, who discussed a very obvious question, and that is, what really is the Chiddush of Rab Nosson? Rab Nosson had a halacha called Shibuda de Rab Nosson. He learned it from a pasuk. What's the real Chiddush of Shibuda de Rab Nosson? L'chaira, at the end of the day, if Reuven has an ability to collect money from Shimon, and Shimon has an ability to collect money from Levi, right? Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon owes Reuven money. Shimon loaned money to Levi. Levi owes Shimon money. So, l'chaira, it should be pashit that if Reuven wants to collect money from Levi, he should have the ability to collect money from Levi. Why should it be pashit? The reason is because at the end of the day, the fact that Shimon has a schus to go collect money from Levi, that's an asset of Shimon's. And if that's an asset of Shimon's, and all Shimon's nechasim are meshubet to Reuven, So versteht sich, Reuven has a right to collect from Levi. You know why he has a right to collect from Levi? Because everything that Shimon's is Meshubet to Reuven. So if right now Levi has money, or he has a piece of collateral that's Meshubet to Shimon, then by definition it's Meshubet to Reuven. It's all Nichlal in the Shibud that Reuven has. So if Reuven has a Shibud Nechasim on all of Shimon's Nechasim, so it should be Pashit that Reuven should be able to collect from Levi. So fake the Rajb and the Ran and the Gedolei Rishonim, what is the Chiddush of the Halacha of Shibud of the Rav Nos? And the Rishonim say, major svaras to answer this kasha. Ayin Shom, B'Ktois, Achoshim, Simen, Peivav, Sefkot, and Aleph, where he talks about this, Ba'arichos. But I'll just tell you the one thing that the Ktois says, and he says at the very end, V'oid Nira, V'hu ha'ikar etzleinu. After all is said, and the Ktois says a lot up until that point, but he says after everything, I'm going to tell you what I think the emes is. Here's the emes. The emes is that the chiddush of Shibud of the Rav Nosson, and the reason Rav Nosson needed a pasuk for this was, is because for Shteitin Shibud of the Rav Nosson is not that Reuven is able to collect from Levi, because Levi's nechasim are meshubet to Shimon, and Shimon's nechasim are meshubet to Reuven, so memela, Levi's nechasim are just included in this umbrella Shibud that Reuven has on Shimon's nechasim. The reason Reuven's able to collect from Levi is because the Torah said, "Minayin l'noishu v'chaveiroi mona v'chaveiroi b'chaveiroi shemaitziyam mizeh v'noisin l'zeh talmenoimar v'nosan la'asher oshom loy." The Torah said that if there's a Shibud of the Rav Nosson scenario, Reuven and Levi are balei dvarim with each other. And it's ki'ilu Reuven loaned money to Levi. Reuven has a right to go to Levi, not because he's nichlal in my Shibud. I can go to Levi because it's as if I loaned you money. What do you mean? I never saw you. I have no idea who you are. Who are you? I'm going to put a restraining order on you. No, that's the halacha. Does state in Shibud of the Rav Nosson. Das is the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that even though I don't know who you are, still I have a right to go ahead and take it. Says the Ktois, What's the Nafkamina? Says the Nafkamina is Pashit. I mean, he brings a few Nafkaminas, but the Nafkamina is very Pashit. What would be if Shimon says, you know what, I'm going to write you a check. You know what, Lomachop, I'm not interested in going down this road. I'm going to have to deal with Levi now. I'm not interested. I'd rather deal with you. Here's a check, and I'm not mechuyev to take it from you. You can't be Masalik me bezuzi. I don't have to take the money. I can go to Levi. Because if my relationship by taking Levi's nechasim is all the shibud, so okay, you're my loiva, I can be Masalik you bezuzi. But if I have now a direct relationship with Levi via the concept of Shibud of the Rav Nosson, so if that's the case, the Shimon doesn't have the ability to be Masalik Reuven, and if Reuven wants, he can go directly to Levi. So the Ktois said, half of a fella. Said the Ktois, where did Rav Nosson see this? Where do you see this? So this is classic Tzais. He said, isn't it interesting where the Torah told us the halacha of Shibud the Rav Nosson? Talk about tucked away, right? But Midbar Perik, hey, you would think it's a Parshas Mishpatim somewhere, right? This is where it is. It's in Parshas Bamidbar, the halacha of the Gazlan and the Nigzal with the Karen and the Chaimish. It's in such an obscure part of the Torah. He says, why did the Torah tell me the halacha of Shibud the Rav Nosson? It should be above Metziah Daf Beis. It's like in such an interesting place, right? So the Tzais says, here's the Oymek. You want to know why it's there? Because in Bamidbar Perikei Pasuk Zayin is where you see Shibud of the Rav Nosson. Where do you see it? You know where you see it? Because the halacha is that the Gazlan has to pay Chaimish. And who does he pay the Chaimish to? Who does he pay it to? La'asher Asham Loi. And La'asher Asham Loi is with Chazal Darshan the halacha of Shibud of the Rav Nosson. So the Ktzai said that if Levi and Reuven have no sheiches to each other, and Reuven's whole schus is that he's coming Machmas Shimon, so that I understand that Levi should take the Karen, that Shimon owes Reuven, and he can give it directly to Reuven. Shibud the Rav Nosson. Up at the Chaimish? Why is Reuven a Bailam on the Chaimish? When Shimon swore, and when Levi swore, and he said, I don't really owe you money, who was he lying to? He was lying to his Baldover. Who is his Baldover? It was the Nigza. So why are you giving the money now to the Shibud the Rav Nosson? The Teretz is because in Shibud the Rav Nosson steht a Chiddush, that the Shibud the Rav Nosson is the Baldover. Oh, if he's the Baldover, he gets the Chaimish. He's the person you lied to. If really Shimon and Levi have this relationship with each other, they're Malvaloiva, it just so happens Shimon owes money to Reuven. So through Reuven's Shibud that he has in Shimon's Nechasim, he's able to collect. So then who's Levi's Baldover? It's Shimon. So if Levi has to pay a Chaimish, he should give the Chaimish to Shimon. Why is Reuven getting the Chaimish? So if it's included in the Shibud of the Rav Nosson, okay. But who said it's included in the Shibud of the Rav Nosson? Rav Nosson said the Ketzos. It's not mashma that way. So the halacha is then Shimon should get it. Why does Reuven get it? Must be that the way Shibud that the Rav Nosson works is that Reuven becomes a Bailam over here. Ich ben amichitin. I'm a Baldover. If I'm a Baldover, so that's why I'm able to collect directly. It's not working with Shibud. The middleman doesn't have a right to be Masalik. Reuven Bezuzi, and that's why the Chaimish goes to Reuven. He says, that's exactly what Rav Nosson saw in this parasha. The whole Shibud of the Rav Nosson came dafka from the parasha of Chaimish, because that's where you see the Shibud of the Rav Nosson. That's where Rav Nosson was bringing something to the table. Mitzad, the concept that Reuven can collect from Levi, I don't need Shibud of the Rav Nosson for that. Like the Rashba said, like the Rosh said, like the Ran said, incidentally, the Ketzos says, I'm asking to everything that the Rishonim said. But Ha'ikar et Sleinu, I think the real emes of what Rav Nosson was bringing to the table, Rav Nosson's chiddush, why it goes down in Shibud Rav Nosson, it's not that Reuven can collect from Levi, that I would know without Shibud Rav Nosson. The Ikar chiddush is that Reuven is able to collect from Levi as a direct baldover. And if he's able to collect as a direct baldover, that's something that you see in Va'asa. Where do you see that? Nosson Asasha Oshamlo, you see it in the parish of Chaimish, and that was the real chiddush of Rav Nosson in Shibud Rav Nosson.